Gaza? Syria? Or Iraq? No, I'm talking about our longest-running war, our 9/11 bomb-em-back-to-the-stone-ages war, Afghanistan. A human crisis of nearly incomprehensible proportions continues to unfold while other crises grab the headlines. Join me, Linda Olsen Osterlund, for Wednesday Talk Radio. Call in and talk with guest Professor Zahair Wahab, just back from Kabul. Ask your questions and share your point of view on America's longest war. That's Wednesday Talk Radio with guest Professor Zahair Wahab, right here on KBOO Community Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the second annual Portland Roots Festival, Sunday, August 10th, from noon to 8 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. The Portland Roots Festival explores the food justice movement, healthy living through nutrition and exercise, and celebrates the flavors of African diaspora food culture in an urban landscape. The celebration will feature local artists and performers, a keynote speaker, African, African-American, Afro-Latin, and Afro-Caribbean food vendors, local nonprofits, and micro-entrepreneurs.
Again, that's the second annual Portland Roots Festival, Sunday, August 10th, from noon to 8 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
We're now approaching Newport, Rhode Island.
KBOO and the Clinton Street Theater are proud to present one of the great concert films of all time, Jazz on a Summer's Day, a documentary of the 1958 Newport Jazz Festival. Jazz on a Summer's Day captures the music, the crowd, and the essence of such jazz greats as Louis Armstrong, Thelonious Monk, Jerry Mulligan, and Anita O'Day. Jazz on a Summer's Day, Thursday, August 14, 7 p.m., at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Old Rockin' Chair's got me.
Old Rockin' Chair got your father.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, July 29th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Guests today, we will be speaking with Danny Miller. We're going to be talking about this recent report, fuel tanks at Gaza's only power plant bombed today and destroyed. They've destroyed Gaza's only power plant. What happens next is that there's no water. There's virtually no drinkable water at all whatsoever in Gaza. The attack came just hours after Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned in a televised speech of a prolonged campaign against the Palestinians in Gaza. Israel carried out 76 strikes overnight. This is a tiny, tiny patch of land, which with a dense population, of course, minus the people killed recently, and people who have fled their homes or the ruins of their homes. 76 airstrikes, that state-of-the-art military airstrikes against civilians overnight. It's one of the biggest bombardments in the nearly month-long campaign, and indeed one of the most critical attacks on civilians in perhaps the history of war. We'll be speaking soon with Danny Miller. And we'll also be speaking here close at home with Steve Horn. There have been developments here on stateside, of course, that it's important to keep an eye out for. First, while we wait for our guests, a few headlines. The day after the anti-Tesoro action in Anacortes, Washington, Greenpeace USA released a major new report on an under-discussed part of President Barack Obama's climate action plan in his U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, Carbon Roll. It serves as a major endorsement of continued coal production and export to overseas markets. Leasing coal, fueling climate change, how the federal coal leasing program undermines President Obama's climate plan. This is just out from the intrepid Steve Horn, who we rely on constantly for this type of investigative reporting. And a private drone trying to record footage of a Northern California wildfire nearly hindered efforts to attack the flames from the air. Firefighters, basically, they were attacked by their own drone. Kansas State Agricultural Economics, a non-GMO project that has certified more than 20,000 products since it launched in 2007. It's one of the fastest-growing sectors of the natural food industry. Will the rest of the economy get on board? And undeterred by vocal opposition of high calls to slow down, the Eugene, even closer to home, City Council on Monday approved a mandatory sick leave law, finally. And NBC, of course, reporting the Israeli airstrikes. We're going to go now to speak with Danny Miller about what has just happened overnight in Gaza. Good morning, Danny. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you.
We're very, very pleased to have you with us today. It must be busy, busy times for you right now. Well, so what we want to know, of course, is the importance of this power station and all of the repercussions, because it's not like, oh, the lights went out. The lights went out in Gaza a long time ago. But the ramifications of the attack are considerable. Can you go into a few details that perhaps the reporting NBC may have overlooked?
Sure. Overnight last night in Gaza, all reports from friends by Facebook and social media were that it was the most intense bombing of the last 3 weeks. Power, TV, and radio stations were hit, destroyed completely. This isn't the first time Israel has targeted the electrical infrastructure of Gaza. It was heavily bombarded in 2009, but this is a complete and total destruction of the electrical power plant. This is on top of the destruction of miles of waterways, sewage treatment plants, and water wells. So to connect electricity and water, you need electricity to both pump your water, clean it, filtrate it, and get it to a point of use. So what this most recent bombing has done is obliterated the very limited ability that civil service societies had to provide any kind of cleaner drinking water for people in Gaza. This, it also must be understood that this bombing is going on the heels of the Israeli blockade that has 6 months ago, reports from the UN were that 90% of water in Gaza is unfit for drinking. So there was an incredibly just horrific ongoing public health crisis before this bombardment, and it's gone to the point where I believe we're on the precipice of something in scope that is just clearly monstrous and disastrous for the people of Gaza.
So this, why is this not sufficient to be declared, the Israeli Defense Forces actions clearly war crimes? Where's the discussion at as far as these being designated officially as war crimes?
And I think they will be. I think people in the UN are already talking about that. There is already use of that word, of course. Of course, we know that international criminal courts are biased and controlled by the powerful, or the United States would have been in front of them a long time ago for their actions in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. So I think from a international law standpoint, there are people like international law experts who have been out there, like Francis Boyle and others, for the last number of weeks, who've been documenting very directly how Israelis' actions constitute war crimes by international standards. That doesn't mean you're going to hear that description in, you know, maybe your corporate media, but I do believe that this time around we are hearing that most people in America feel very differently about this, even if they get biased news coming at them in the newspapers or on TV. People are getting information on the internet, and they're seeing the horrors of what's happening in Gaza. And, you know, there has to be some kind of baseline discussion for what's acceptable in society. And when you have direct bombings of hospitals and water treatment plants and schools, I don't know of any rational or moral person who could justify that. So the baseline for discussion has moved, and I think it is moving to a point where people are very legitimately, very rightly critical of Israel for waging war against a civilian population, and that's what's happening today.
Before we let you go, well, very briefly, Hamas... their demands, and the reason they're holding out is of course, because enough is enough. This is the third time now. And some form of they have to open the borders, or there will be more tunnels. It's just the facts of life. They have to open the borders, and they have to allow Gazans to engage in trade so they can generate some money, you know, in sort of some sort of economy again, and rebuild all of this, the all infrastructure, all houses, everything. They're not going to back down. Can you give us, just as before we let you go, a rough idea of where the rest of the world stands? Coming up to getting up to speed on this seems to be impossible. But it's always reported that Hamas fired more rockets. Well, yeah, they're going to do that, and they're going to continue to do that. Until their demands are met, and they're very legitimate humanitarian demands. Where are we with this?
Well, I think you can see exactly how isolated the United States is as being the sole vote against the UN resolution that condemned Israel. And so I think the world, as I said, and I think public opinion is clearly going against Israel, because it's just unjustifiable. Hamas has, because of what's happened in Egypt, where tunnels have cracked down, they have been incredibly limited in their ability to bring things in over the last 6 months, which has exacerbated their situation for how they can try to run things. But it's, you know, I've seen people in Gaza say, you know, something that might strike a chord with people in the United States, and this is not everybody in Gaza. So a lot of people just want this to end, whatever it will take right now, because the onslaught is so intense. But other people have said, give me liberty or give me death. When you are living in the largest open-air prison, where you can't travel, you have no control over your borders, you can't go out into the Mediterranean Sea to fish, there is no airport, you can't go study, there are no jobs, when you're completely controlled and isolated by the Israeli siege and blockade, it creates a climate where Hamas can, one, come to power, but two, people are just so desperate for a change that they will make conditions to a ceasefire. And that's not something that should be criticized. I think it should be listened to, because it's very real what people are going through. And I think this is not just some person high on a hill within Hamas. Hamas knows that they're fighting for their very survival, because if they do not deliver something tangible to the people of Gaza, they won't be in power anymore. So whether it's Hamas or somebody else, Israel needs to know that the world community will force them to negotiate into some kind of just and equitable solution that stops Gaza from being a permanent prison, which it has been, and now it's a permanent prison under bombardment.
Danny, thank you so much for that. We are out of time, and I apologize for that. Thank you again very much for that. And we will continue to report on these developments. It's very likely then that world opinion will force the issue with or without the United States. And this, of course, the U.S., again, the position of the U.S. on the world stage has been sharp decline. And this, of course, is perhaps the latest and most profound indication of that decline. Thank you again for that, Danny. We've been speaking with Danny Miller. We've got Steve Horn waiting patiently on the line. I want to just let listeners know Steve's latest piece is now up on the Smog blog. It covers a new report out by Greenpeace. It's important numbers, figures, charts. Might want to take a look at that, and then perhaps we can entice Steve to join us tomorrow to cover that. Thanks again, Danny, and thank you also, Steve. Please join us tomorrow. This has been Cascadia 4, Tuesday, July 29th, 2014. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, Israeli missiles hit a refugee camp and a hospital complex.